man. This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shit.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come
on the
in?
Point of order.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Sunday Times Politics Weekly with me, Amil Amrao. We're here live, not really live, but almost live from the Sunday Times studios in Parktown. I'm joined by my politics team, Zimasa Matiwane, Zingisa Mvumvu, and Apiwe de Klerk. Guys, thank you so much for joining me here today, and thank you all for listening out there. This is officially our pre-State of the Nation address podcast. So we're going to be looking at what we can expect coming from Cyril Ramaphosa when he gives his State of the Nation address tomorrow. It will be his second or third?
Third
State of the Nation address. Remember that little one in between when he was, yeah. But before we get into that, let's start with our first section of the podcast, and it's titled The Good, the Bad, and the Newsworthy. And this is where we look in to the big story that made headlines at the Sunday Times this past weekend. And again, it's Esmacha Shule, the ANC Secretary General, who I think now for the third week running has been making headlines because of his ploys and his rebellion against the president of the ANC and the president of the country. This time, he apparently orchestrated a parliamentary coup. Apparently, as the Sunday Times reports, he wanted to move into crucial parliamentary committee posts many supporters of South Africa's former president, Jacob Zuma. And everybody was thinking, this is his job. Well, not really his job, but I mean, as the ANC Secretary General, he's looking after the party on a daily basis. He has authority to do so. But look at the people he was trying to bring in. Former Northwest Premier Supra Mahumapelo, for one. Former Communications Minister Faith Mutambi. And former Mineral Resources Minister Mosabenzi Zwane. Now, going into committee chairs, they wield enormous legislative and oversight powers, controlling how parliamentary committees conduct oversight over ministers and senior government officials. Now, these people were massively implicated in state capture, and we're seeing their reemergence through Esmacha Shule into parliament. Fortunately, this campaign was stopped. So what do we make of this? Is this ACE's another attempt from ACE to undermine the president?
I mean, look, for me, the point that I'm going to make, I think the ANC going forward must go back to its slate politics. I know it's a bit controversial what I'm saying, but I can tell you
now, people are going to agree with
we will never find peace in the ANC with this so-called unity leadership that emerged in Nasrec. I mean, we've got two factions here. The one has branded itself to be the leftist, the one which is led by Esmacha Shule, and then the other one more liberal.
Were you saying leftist or lootist?
I was saying leftist.
I heard you wrong.
But I'm saying they're branding themselves as leftists. I'm not saying they are leftists. Of course, you brand yourself with a particular ideology for your own nefarious reasons. And then there's this other one that is called neoliberal by others. I mean, that's how the Communist Party refers to them. So we will never, on that basis alone, that there's these two ideological differences between the factions, which are supposed to be having one ideological program in terms of how they run the country, we have problems there. And these kind of problems that we have where the SG and the president are always at each other's throats, it has never happened before, because previously in the ANC, it has happened that the state politics have always produced a leadership that is on the same page. Kwede Mantashe until towards Nazareth,
yes,
and Jacob Zuma have always agreed on the program of the ANC and the country. Before that, President Thabo Mbeki and Kgalema Motlanthe were on the same page, and before that. So with this kind of thing now, we will see this division until the next conference, which I believe that's where the ANC must go back to state politics, and then we know what we're dealing with, even if it's wrong or right, but at least there's synergy and direction.
Let me ask you this then, going on Vumvu's point, Zimasa, is this a matter of divisions in the ANC, or is this a matter of self-preservation by those who look to have lost at Nasrec?
I think it's both. What I wanted to add on to Mvumvu's comment is that the ANC has the same policies, driven by the same ideology, and both these factions should be able to find common ground and abide by the ANC policies and push those policies in government. There is absolutely no need for them to be at each other's throats until now. So I think ultimately, between Cyril and Ace, one of them is going to have to give up the fight and let the other lead.
But it's a battle for control on an ideological level, is it not, Apiwe?
What is the ideology of the ANC?
Well,
we're not talking about Ace or Ramaphosa ideology.
Let's talk about a policy level then. Is it not a battle for control being brought on a policy level, Apiwe Zimasa?
I really seriously doubt there is a serious battle of ideology here. It's not about that. It's about who wields power.
Exactly.
So what's happening? What would have happened had they installed these proposed names? I'm looking at public enterprises, and I'm thinking the Minister of Public Enterprises would have been going to that committee, and it would have been chaired by former Minister Joe Maswanganyi. Now, what would happen then would be, so the culture across party lines when they are in charge is that they go to caucus before the sitting, and then after they finish their caucus, they get there, a report is presented and stuff. When there are hard questions, when there are tough questions, or when the minister or MEC in provinces is seen to be under attack, the chair steps in and try to defend them, protect them, and try to steer questions and the whole conversation in the committee away from this issue that would have made the party look bad through its minister. Now, when you have someone from a different faction as a chair, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, of course.
If now, they deploy Floyd Shivambu to that committee meeting chaired by Maswanganyi, and Floyd lifts his hand and start going at Pravin Gordhan, the thinking in this instance is that this one will be reluctant to protect him. So, which is what you had seen when just after Nasrec.
Yes.
See, remember, just after Nasrec, which was the best thing for us as the the public, by the way, where you had now chairs of committees who had sided with the Ramaphosa faction, who would have let MPs do a proper oversight and ask these tough questions. So in this one, whether they would have, it would have been good for us that the person is protected, or it would have been used as a way to attack the person without any substance. Well, unfortunately, it seems we won't see it.
Let's end it like this. I'm going to pose this to anyone here who wants to take this question up. Does Cyril Ramaphosa have the power to deal with Ace decisively?
No, he doesn't.
There's nothing he can do.
Because, you see, that's why Ace is emboldened, and that is why he keeps on trying all these moves, even when they fail, because this won't be the last one. It has failed, but he will try another one, because he knows that essentially there's nothing that the president can do to deal with him. And the only way to deal with someone would be to remove them from the office, because as long as they're in that office, they have those powers to give instructions and direct party deployees. There is nothing he can do until such time, unless if when we go next year to the NGC, something dramatic, which hasn't happened in the ANC in the previous history, happens, in that maybe 25% of the conference resolves that we need to elect new leadership, and in that way Ace doesn't make it. That is the only way to deal with him. But as long as he remains in that position we're in, he was elected, I think it's going to be a tough road ahead for the president.
We're going to take a quick ad break. When we get back, we're going to talk about our story of the week, and that's going to be President Cyril Ramaphosa's State of the Nation address. Join us when we're back.
ucele uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Young people are making their mark. Get up. Yenza umehluko ngimpilo yakho.
Tune into the Sebenza Live Behind the Hustle podcast every Tuesday to find out more about what fascinating careers are out there. You can find us on the Sowetan Live website
or you can follow us on Twitter on Sebenza Live.
Sebenza boy.
Sebenza girl.
Sebenza.
Yeva mntanam.
Welcome back. So let's get back into it. State of the Nation address is happening on Thursday at 7 o'clock in the evening. Am I right, Apiwe? You should know you were a parliamentary reporter. Am I right?
Yeah, as far as I understand, these things change. This is a new term. It's at 7, eh?
It is at seven. But before we get there, let's talk about the promises our president has made in his previous State of the Nation address. I mean, how can we look into what the president's going to tell us this time if we're not completely satisfied that he's fulfilled all these promises that he made the last time? Now, if we look back, Ramaphosa promised a whole bunch of things. Firstly, let's start with the economy, right? Mm-hmm. He promised that he would start this trajectory of economic reform. We haven't not... I don't think we've seen those results yet, guys. It stands, where we are, economic growth has stagnated at an average of below 2% since 2011, whereas the economy needs to produce growth rates closer to 3.5% in order to make unemployment rates drop to the double-digit figures from about 27%. And that's another big thing that Ramaphosa promised, was the employment factor. So let's look at those two big things that are sort of pushing the South African discourse right now, is the economy, which is our money, and our employment, especially our youth unemployment. Things are getting worse. What has the president done and not done over the past year?
Well, I think the president, it will take us back to the previous conversation of the ANC. I think he's finding it tough to focus on whatever he wants to focus on in terms of his economic ideas and job creation ideas because of the fights within the ANC, because it's really, I mean, if we go back to the National Reserve Bank debate, it's something that he wouldn't have thought was going to happen. He's someone who now has obviously stated that we cannot afford to nationalize the Reserve Bank now and expand its mandate. But ACE came out saying that must be done. So he has all these sideshows that he has to keep on putting off fires such that it is difficult for him to focus on the task at hand. And with that, in terms of the investment, which he promised will be his priority thing to bring in foreign direct investment into the country, in the kind of political environment that we have, is completely against that kind of an endeavor, in that no investor would want to come to a country where they don't know whether you are nationalized in the Reserve Bank or we are not. Even if we were nationalized, at least we have a stance. They know what they are coming to. But in South Africa right now is that on many issues, we don't have a stance. People still don't know what is going to happen to the land issue. It's taking forever in parliament. And we don't know when it comes back, when that whole process is completed, whether it's going to be we're going for it or we're not going for it. The details around that in terms of nitty-gritties on its own, although the policy of expropriation without compensation was resolved upon, but the nitty-gritties of how it is going to be done, it's not agreed upon, in that EFF has got their own ideas, the ANC have got their own ideas, but they agreed on the principle level. Now, when it comes to nitty-gritties, are they going to agree? How long will that process take to get to a point of agreement where we have a solid economic policy in terms of how we proceed with land reform? And I think all those things are hurting the economy, they are driving away investors, and actually keeping off those that were interested to invest when Ramaphosa came in.
And domestically, we still have the issue of Eskom, where there is a huge debt, where we are uncertain whether or not we're going to have electricity in the next coming months. So when it comes to the backbone of the economy, the small businesses, those are the people that suffer the most when it comes to, you know, issues like load shedding. So the president also still needs to deal with sorting out the whole mess at the SOEs. I'm not sure where it's at right now. But I think perhaps with the new Minister of Small Businesses, maybe that department would start to function now and would, you know, actually be able to help a lot of South Africans who want to start businesses somehow to boost the economy.
Maybe that would work.
I don't want to talk about Ramaphosa's promises at the beginning about jobs and investment summits and youth unemployment summits and all those summits that he promised last time.
He delivered on the summits.
but we haven't seen the results of those summits yet.
I was reading his speech, the Youth Day speech, and he was talking about bringing in the private sector into the issue of unemployment, and I'm thinking the private sector is also struggling.
Exactly.
If we don't have money to buy because we are not working, then the economy is also not growing. So there are no jobs, and I don't think those summits of his yielded any results, especially the ones about jobs and unemployment.
Complete waste of time.
Or maybe we haven't seen those results
yet.
We won't see them.
I don't know. He went somewhere and he was talking about billions last year or millions. I don't know. Billions. Maybe get that billions. Money some one day we'll know where it's going or whatever. But the jobs are, I don't know. They're not there.
But you see, I mean, on the promises as well, moving away maybe from the economy, I mean, as I've said before, this one really has me of the president. He promised in his first State of the Nation address to reduce the cabinet to save costs. This one really has
Let me give you guys some context. Sengisa has been hopping about this from the day that cabinet
this thing has me. I mean, it really hurts me, brother, that we have our cabinet is bloated. It's bloated. That goes without a doubt, and it comes with
costs. And that was the one thing he had the power to change immediately.
That one, it's non-negotiable. Actually, the prerogative, the so-called presidential prerogative, he had it in full in this regard, but he chose to satisfy ANC factions at the cost of the country. Now,
and the communists,
you know, and now they are coming with these silly gymnastics of saying, yeah, we're withdrawing the Imbongi for Sona. That person, I'm sure they were not even getting paid 50,000 and those things, for me, they're just a distraction. That is not cost saving. The cost saving that would have happened and that would have been sustainable and real would have been the one of cutting the cabinet. President failed dismally. He dabbed us on that one. And from that point on, seriously, I'm finding it difficult to trust him.
And no one is holding the president accountable. I mean, he just goes and does it for sure and eats snookfish there. And no one is asking Nguti, guy, this is what you said and this is what you did. But what's happening?
Let's look at some of the successes up here before I get to you. Let me introduce your successes. Because let's just balance this out a little bit. Okay, we've seen some progress on the national health insurance, right? We've seen some progress on the minimum wage bill. We've seen some progress on... up here will help me out.
I was going to talk about the NPA.
In the SOEs, we've seen board level appointments being made. Boards have changed. New managements have come in. The NPA, we've seen some new appointments at SARS. So there has been change, but are we seeing the effects of those changes yet?
No. I was going to talk about the SOEs. We are talking about boards, but you must look at also this trend of these CEOs that are leaving.
Yes.
So, do we see that as a good thing or do we say it's a bad thing?
We haven't really decided on that yet.
but on the NPA though, he must be applauded on the NPA.
No, why?
Because even the appointment process, we were able to, you know, to follow it and see.
It was transparent.
We can't say we were robbed.
I think also we have confidence in the person who has taken over.
But I think that confidence is misguided until such time that their results declare you've pursued that stance before that. You must give people an opportunity until their results. And then we can say that the NPA is back to its full
function. But the NPA has been rotten for a very long time. It's going to take a while.
Visit KZN. I'm not saying a lot of things. Just visit KZN and ask people there if there is no change. Change is not being felt there in KZN. They will tell you.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Are you talking about now the political killings at KZN?
No, I'm just saying.
About the general law enforcement?
Yes. There was the issue of the contentious two.
Yes.
I think that has been dealt with.
Can you explain that to our listeners? The two senior advocates,
Mukwebi and Jiba.
Mm.
That has been dragging for quite a long time.
Yeah, for years and years.
For years, since after 2012
Mm.
Yeah, it's
it is not a healthy space for an organization to have such controversies. You had this big fight that is with the legal fraternity, ed courts, civil society, and so on, such that even the factions there at the NPA, you could see the environment. Every story that was coming out of the NPA was just a negative story.
Yeah.
About the infighting and so on. So we can confidently say at least
there's
stability in the NPA. When there's stability in the NPA, we have not had similar factional maneuverings with the SAPS. So when you have those two, in terms of saying we had problems dealing with people who were stealing our money, who are politicians, who are civil high-ranking civil servants, when you have those two, you would then say you have will to investigate, to prosecute.
Mm.
I believe that's what it means. Yeah. Let's give it 2 years to give a final judgment if the intervention after he has been appointed the president, after he was voted in, and after the appointment of the NPA boss, and after the appointment of the new police chief, and so on, has it been effective? And will we see big guns being jailed?
But some
people are already losing their bread there in KZN. There are protests. People are losing bread there already.
Talking about Zandile Gumede, the former Durban mayor. But let's to round this up.
I'm still the mayor.
Still the mayor.
We don't know.
But yeah, we don't
really
know.
This one has appointed his own mayor. He's going to be in trouble.
In that Indian cabal in Durban, we'll talk about that. But anyway, to round it up, can we just agree, can we maybe agree then that the president has made, he's taken the steps to fulfill his promises. However, we haven't seen those results come into effect yet. So, but where he's flouted in some ways, he's also gained on a lot of other aspects. Zimasa, what do you think?
Where the president has done good, I feel like it's in areas where it's impossible for you to not effect change if you want to effect change. Okay. No one is going to stand in your way when you say we need a new NPA head. It's not, it's kind of political, but it's not political in terms of it's decided in the NEC or you need to consult a blade in his SACP. So I think his strength in terms of pushing the country forward still has to be tested within the ANC for me to believe that he's on track.
And that's the real power base in terms of, I mean, how the country is going to move forward. As they always say in the ANC, the center of power is the ANC. If within the ANC you cannot have that freedom, as Zimasa is saying, that he's only been able to achieve where he really has the total control of what needs to happen. But where he must consult, he is found fumbling and stumbling in that he has to satisfy, he has to compromise and all those things. And I believe that once the president has got the full grip of the party and manages to have it at his palm, then that is where we're going to begin to see real change. So ANC it is.
But I wanted you to talk further about the SOEs. And I'm saying this not because I think you are an expert or anything like that, but because you've
that's an underground, like, you know nothing.
I'm saying this because you have been covering the Zondo Commission, and a lot of the rot that had been happening in SOEs is being uncovered.
Yes,
there.
Of course.
But when you see what the minister is doing there, do you think we are moving forward?
When it comes to the commission and what it's uncovering with SOEs, I think it's still on a fact-finding mission. After the president was appointed, we saw this shuffle of the boards of SOEs, right? And that directly impacted a lot of people who were implicated in state capture, who were previously protected by the administrations before. So what, as things start to happen at the commission, what I'm finding is that certain key people are starting to either leave very quietly from SOEs who were involved in state capture, or there's a bit of clap back from the new administration that's been placed in various SOEs, but not enough as yet. We haven't seen that total reform. But also, I think there's a bit of reluctance, because if we look at it now, the Zondo Commission has just started its leg on South African Airways, and that's going to be massive. But we are seeing the sort of purge of those who were involved in state capture at a lower level, but at a higher level, the Dudu Mianis of the world, Machelo Kokos of the world, the Brian Molefas of the world are still out there. Some of them still on Twitter, talking their own, spinning their own nonsense on there. So we haven't seen decisive action at a higher level yet, I think. But let's move on from here. We're going to take another very quick ad break. And when we get back, we're going to look at our last section, which is called What to Expect When You're Unsuspecting. And here we're going to look into the president's speech, and we're going to sort of try and predict what he's going to say tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course, have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative, only on Times Live Motoring.
Welcome back. And let's get straight back into it, into what to expect when you're unsuspecting. We're going to sort of predict what the president's going to say when he takes the podium in Parliament for the State of the Nation address tomorrow. I have a feeling he's going to start off by thanking everyone for giving him his confidence in the past elections, ensuring everyone's going to be okay. He's got enough power. Then he's going to be like, we must all work together to make this dream of South Africa possible. When we're all going to think like, oh, come on, we've been trying to do what we can do all this time. It's up to you to sort everything out. Where he's going to take it from there, I think he's going to speak a lot about youth unemployment. He's going to talk about his SOE cleanups and his progress there. He's going to talk about his fight against corruption and tell us all how he's doing such a good job. Then he's going to tell us about poverty unemployment, and he's going to talk about the economy. He's going to talk about health, and he's going to maybe going to talk about crime. What do you guys think? Am I on the right track here?
Yeah, no, you are. You are.
I'm in for president. Actually, go and deliver that speech tomorrow.
Look, I mean, I think you are pretty much correct. That's basically it. And I don't see anything dramatic in terms of the change.
So basically, we shouldn't expect anything shocking. We can expect the same
that's always been. But what the president ought to do now that he's gotten a clear mandate, we can forgive him for previous promises that were not fulfilled and the speeches that were not so clear. Because really, he was finishing someone's term. Now he has been given his own mandate by the majority of voters in South Africa. I think now is the time for him to give what would be his best speech yet, in that he must give a solid program and clear direction of where the country is going. He must put the country first and forget a bit. Of course, it's not that easy to forget about ANC factions, but I think he must. Mm. Then he will go defend himself within the ANC factions, but he must give the country a line of march, a program of action, one that seems realistic and workable and sustainable going forward.
So I think what the president is going to speak about, we've covered. I mean, those are his big topics.
Yeah.
All the problems in our country are his big topics. And there's certain policy issues which are also big topics, like land, like the South African Reserve Bank, and like the NHI and stuff like that, and the mining charter. But, Apiwe, as Zingisa is saying, now is the time for the president to be absolutely decisive. We need a clear mandate from the president and a clear response from him. But I think this is what will set him apart in the SONA, to say, this is what's going to happen with land. This is what's going to happen with the Reserve Bank. This is what's going to happen with the NHI. This is what's going to happen in the mining sector, and so forth and so forth.
Yeah, I agree. And he should go further and say, when you're talking about job creation, I have a plan, and it includes growing the economy. This is how I'm going to grow the economy. First, I'm going to target this sector. And this sector, I believe, is going to grow by this much because of this factor and that factor.
You see, want details.
What's a five-year
that's
detail?
A proper detail to say from he has his advisors. From what his advisors are telling him, they should be able to tell him in the mining sector, we are expecting jobs cuts, we are expecting maybe new investors here, we are expecting he spoke about Total. He must say, okay, what does this mean for us in the long run? And how are we going to benefit jobs wise, and how much, you know, those sort of details. And his tour that he had, where he scored so many billions, he must update there and say, okay, from the billions I was talking about, this so and so has since signed this and this. You would need, say, maybe environmental impact studies have been completed, that sort of stuff, so that, you know, you bring that little bit of hope, because you know, when you look last 2 months, petrol going up, those things affect people directly.
Exactly.
It's not about rhetoric. It's not about the policies that maybe in 10 years' time we will be in this country that is growing and what. We need to know from next year, this is where we're going to be when it comes to land reform. We need to know the Reserve Bank issue is a serious issue. It's taken very serious by the international world. He needs to. And he met with the Reserve Bank last week.
Yes.
Was it last week? Yeah. From that meeting, he should be able to say, no, after this whole public confusion, as a country, this is where we stand. When I was talking about we can't do it now, when are we going to do it? Or is not going to be done, so that whoever is speaking outside of what he's saying, they are understood to be politicking on behalf of their factions in the ANC, and that anyone who's thinking about investing, they know that so long as Tumamina is president, that thing is not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, we need to understand those things.
Yeah. Sure.
So and he has the stage there in parliament to be the president and be as decisive and as clear as possible. We've always known and understood what the problems of our countries, of our country are. And I think we've had trouble finding solutions, but where the president thinks he can, you know, start to make change that's going to be felt by South Africans, would like to obviously get a clear action plan on those, you know, smallanyana things. We know not everything is going to be sorted at once, but we need to be inspired. We need to be motivated, man. It's difficult in this country. This is just too hard.
This is where I disagree with you on a State of the Nation point of view, because you want to be inspired and motivated. And like Tumamina, now we've already sent you there. Now do the work. Now, the thing is, for me, my perfect State of the Nation address, and this is what I've always wanted from a politician, is to come on stage and cut all the jargon out. I don't want to hear about Hugh Masekela and his songs. I don't want to hear about any. I don't want to hear about anything. I just want to hear, okay, this is where we are as a country. Our economy is here, A, B, C, D. Our agriculture is here, A, B, C, D. Here are our challenges in a line. Okay, here is my plans. On this challenge, I want to do this in the next 5 years. I want to do this. 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 How am I going to do it? I'm going to do it by A, B, C, D. I'm going to do it by A, B, C, D. That's all I want to see.
He's going to say investment.
A PowerPoint presentation.
You never know what happens.
Let's make a State of the Nation a PowerPoint presentation. That's, make it happen. Take us through a flowchart. I want to see it by numbers.
That's the only thing. But that's the thing. When I mean, our politicians as well use these kind of events to prop themselves up their own political standing. And really, we don't need that now.
So,
we need facts, and we need real facts. You should not mislead us. If you know that in the next 3 years or so, we will not be able to take the economy into a 3.5 percentage growth, then say it. That's
so
impossible. Yes.
Yeah.
But if we do these things, maybe in the long term, maybe after 7 years, we'll be able to reach that. But we need to be reach it and take these particular steps. The 250,000 jobs that they say they're going to create, where are they going to come from? How? When? You know,
exactly.
That's the kind of detail that we need.
But there's one crucial issue that he needs to keep updating us on.
Yeah.
That is school infrastructure. He needs to give us a proper, because that is a very important topic to our nation. As much as people have hope in politicians changing their situation, they also understand that practically, historically, the majority of South Africans have never had their solutions coming from politicians. It has always been when they are able to get proper education and liberate themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a very important topic. He needs to address it. How many schools how many mad schools do we still have, and how long is it going to take for the government to eradicate them? How long is it going to take for them to have proper sanitation? He needs to promise that when he leaves, no student will have to. There will be no stories of students falling into toilets.
Let me ask you: is that the most important thing for you out of Ramaphosa's speech tomorrow? Is that what you want to hear from him?
No. I need to hear that he takes it serious.
Okay.
Because it's one of the most important issues that is faced by the those who can't afford private education.
It's for me. It's also one of issues that are closest to my heart because of where I come from and the situation still being the same as in 1994 when I was in grade one. But based on the sauna that the president gave at the beginning of the year, I don't think he's on the right track. I think we had a long discussion on education and what we thought he was getting wrong. Mm. So maybe, yes, we need him to eradicate, you know, mud schools and pit latrines, but can he just go consult with the teachers also? Mm. What are the solutions? What do you need, you know, to teach these kids? And yeah.
Okay, let's do this. Let's go around the table. What is the most important thing you want to see coming out of the State of the Nation address tomorrow? Zingisa, let's start with you.
Yeah, well, me, the most important thing I want to hear how the president is planning to address economic inequalities in the country. Because for me, this, as much as my colleagues are talking about education and all those things, I believe that it is completely impossible to address those as long as the economic ownership patterns in the country are the way they are. As long as we can do whatever we want, but if the economic ownership patterns don't change, I believe we'll be going in silos and we'll never get anywhere. So I need to hear the president speaking about a proper plan, even if it's not immediate, even if it's within his whole term of the 5 years. But if he has a solid thing that has got the detail and I see it to be realistic, I'll be very satisfied.
He must open up the economy, like the people in the arts are always saying, open up the industry, open up the economy. That's my request to the president. And it makes sense.
For that. Up here?
The most important thing for me is job creation. He really needs to address it. His campaign, the ANC's campaign, has been, like with the two other parties, spoken a lot about jobs creation and for the youth, and so he needs to really give a serious detail on it, and not be like, I think I've said this before, the previous guy who promised a million jobs here.
But that's the thing, like, how do you create jobs in an economy that is skewed in the manner in which it is skewed?
No.
You can't.
But you see, my immediate thing now, because when you're talking about the skewed economy, ownership patterns and whatnot, it talks about what has historically been in place. I don't care if a job is created by Amil Mvumvu or Andile Mngitama, for that matter, as long as a job, it's paying.
But also, we need to get away from that.
Wait. This is my important point.
Why are you overshining my important point?
No, ultimately, people need to eat now.
Yeah,
so I hear
now. So you can't fight a revolution on an empty stomach. What's going on here?
Also, we need to get away also from that culture of jobs.
Let's leave that for a whole different discussion.
But that's my point, Amil. Tell us. I don't care if you see the Chinese are going to come here and invest, or if it's the Americans or if it's the Russians, as long as
it's putting food on the table,
there is a plan to say in the next 6 months we are talking to these people, they're going to be investing in 2 years time, this thing of joblessness would have eaten so much to it that it's not that big of a problem than it is now. When I'm done with my term, unemployment would be at 0%. We can hope.
I agree with all of you, but and I agree with all your points. I would love to see that as well. But I think for me, On top of what you've said is also the issue of decisiveness. I just want to see a proper plan and a decisive plan. Come on, Mr. President, you can do it. We've sent you there. Make it happen.
And you said we must tumor you. We tumored you.
Now we want to see the results.
Ace is also there.
I think that's all we have time for this week. Thank you so much for joining us here. And thanks, guys, my team, for joining me in studio. I really appreciate it. We'll catch you guys next week, where we're going to dissect the President's State of the Nation address. And hopefully, we don't have any more revelations to talk about regarding Ace Makashuna.
Yeah, no, we're tired. No.
Take care.